Hello again, Internet. I have thoughts. Again. Thoughts on something that came to my brain. And this is the Privacy Bunker, where we don't have a schedule. And I just upload whenever the fuck I want. I kind of like, I don't know. Maybe I'll get a schedule one day. Maybe I'll make the audio perfect. I gotta, like, figure out how to soundproof this room. But something super important that I want to bring to the attention of people is we're going to talk about self-toasting and self-reliance. Maybe a little bit of decentralization. I mean, that has its own perspective. And one of my favorite places to go to is the Awesome List with GitHub. And they have a awesome self-hosted guide. There's awesome distributed decentralization. I'll leave the links in the show notes. And then awesome self-hosted. Now, a bit of a backstory. I got into Linux because my laptop didn't fucking play. couldn't run Windows 10. And I spent the last amount of money for a laptop. I needed a laptop for something. And I spent the last amount of good money I made at the time for a laptop, which you should never do. Unless it's a way of learning, I guess, and you see a return. I saw that was my best investment was that shit $200 laptop with 4 gigs of RAM. That was the best investment I ever made. Personal growth. It couldn't run. It was slow. It was buggy. I put, I think, Ubuntu at the time on it. And the rest is history. I distro hopped for a long time after that. I think I went to a lighter distro after that. I used Element OS for a little bit. I liked that. I think something even lighter, and now I'm at the heaviest weighted distro I have, which is, I mean, technically it's not, it's Hypervisor, it's Cubes OS, which is base, but that's what got me into I bought a server. I traded something for a server, got a server, started self-hosting, which more came from a cost perspective. I was kind of like annoyed with all the subscriptions. Linux kind of led me to free and open source, and I'm like, what can I self-host? And then I found Proxmox, and now I pretty much self-host everything. I'm still learning a lot. I set up a couple Kubernetes clusters in my time in between. And I learned how to build stuff, break stuff, and I still rely heavily on documentation and trying and asking questions. I'm in quite a bit of like channels that like where, you know, accidents happen and I try to figure out how to fix it if it does break. One of the first things I think I self-hosted was a Minecraft server, which was kind of cool. I put it in a K3S cluster for redundancy and just to learn how like Kubernetes works and like Docker, and that was fun. After that, I think Pi-hole was down there too. I ran Pi-hole for quite a long time. I don't really need to anymore. I segment most of my network and pretty much what I use in my life, and different things have I have different solutions for different problems, I guess. And that goes down to growing, learning, changing, evolving, adapting, and realizing what works, what doesn't work. And it was kind of awesome. But definitely if you want to look into a really good understanding of how networks, especially internal networks, work, set up a DNS server. It's fun. It's cool. Pi-hole is great. You can actually roll out your own DNS server and I think your own certificate authority too if you want to get internal certs. You can like do it all internally. It's really cool. There's a ton of documentation out there. There's a lot of fun, cool networking stuff that you can learn. Jellyfin was my next one. That's something I still self-host. I just go and buy media, rip it, and then throw it on my server so I can watch it anywhere. Buy it, and then, yeah, I like just rip it on there. I host my own RSS feeder so I can get my news source locally to me through RSS feed. I self-host image. It's pretty fucking heavy for my photo backups. And I also self-host just a few like other stuff. At a base for EdiSync, so I can have my contacts and my calendar encrypted cross-platform for like stuff that I don't want touching, like the cloud or like another different provider. I don't want them to get that kind of information. So I just do that locally, and the syncing process is pretty awesome. It's end-to-end encrypted. You can have them host it, pay them. EdiSync is awesome. I have a complete setup of Radar. I have like the Radar stack. I did that for a while where I'd look for new content, find it, really just to like seek it out, and then I would go buy it and then download it. And that was pretty easy. That was for like my calendar. I did a Mumble server at one point. That's like a text chat difference for like your home. If you guys want to jump from Discord, because fuck Discord. There's also Jammy as well. You can self-host in that. I did do a push server for notifications. That was kind of cool, but it ended up being kind of pointless. I literally set up Nextcloud, I think, for Unify Push only, and that was it. And it was cool at first, but a lot of stuff doesn't support Unify Push yet, which kind of sucks, because I would prefer, because we all know that, like, notifications give a lot of information, metadata. Metadata is very, very, very prominent, and it gives a lot. And this goes into why. Oh, and Sync Thing, too. I have Sync Thing, and I did MinIO, but it's super heavy. MinIO, it's super heavy. And they technically want four of them. You want four like nodes for redundancy on four separate instances. Preferably at four, one, two in one location, two in separate locations for true, not redundancy, but like a true way to have a good solid backup and a copy somewhere. Like Mom, can we get S3 buckets? We have S3 buckets at home. S3 buckets at home moment. Now, you can run MinIO as a single, but it's not recommended because it reduces the redundancy. I just run I finally switched over to TrueNAS Scale, which is based. And that was kind of fun to like set up, and that's like one of my central backups. And then I run another, I have three NASs at this point. I'm looking at the NAS by Unify maybe someday. I don't know. I hear some bad stuff about it. It's like not fully there. You could just really, if for like people, I don't like when people bring up like, oh, this can do this, 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 and this, but for like double the cost. Well, no shit. It can do this, this, and this, and this for double the cost. You're paying more for it. But whatever. I run my own Bitcoin node. I run my own Monero node. My Bitcoin, like my own Lightning node too. That's super, super awesome. It's just generally more private. If I owned my place, if I owned my place, I would have a home assistant immediately, because home assistant is great, especially if you want to get like a smart thermostat and you want to definitely do that. Like if you want to get into that, here's the cool thing: self-hosting has gotten cheaper. My first server was a Dell T10, and then I moved on from that to like smaller servers that are like doing double the power, because it's just a space thing. Like I had a full fucking tower, plus it's capped at like the amount of storage I can put in there, and it's capped at the RAM at like 16 gigs, and it's just not enough anymore. I made the autistic move of getting a enterprise level HP server, and the company that shipped it to me fucked up the listing. They did something wrong, and the place I bought it from, they just refunded my money, which I didn't want to go that route, but they did list it wrong. And it read, first off, list your shit correctly, but second off, read the listing. Make sure when you're buying these servers, this thing sucks, man. It's like super fucking loud. It sucks up a ton of power. It's because of the CS sensors. I've went down many, many rabbit holes. If anyone could fucking point me in the right direction, that'd be great, on how to make this thing not go on full blast, because it's got so much computing power. I would love to just smack around. Maybe if I ever get a basement or anything, that'd be kind of cool. But back onto the main topic and away from my brain. The good thing about decentralized and self-hosted services is you don't have to worry about companies, and you don't have to worry about services, and you don't have to worry about being kicked off, or you don't have, like, I mean, you can just, like, Friendica has been around forever, I believe, oh god, for a long ass time. And it's a social network. Like, woo! You got I2P, you got Hyperpad, in the decentralized. You got FileLove, FilePizza. I think it's dead though. Element's great. Dumbpipe. A Unix pipe between computers. Connect A to B, send data. Super simple. You can do the, what do you call it? The flash drive method. Yeah, there's this thing called Aragor browser. Apparently, it enables people to make and use local first apps using the web. Be minimal. Fewer built-in features. Leave more to the OS, be open, anything decentralized. Like, there's a lot of cool decentralized stuff out there that allow you to kind of, this looks kind of interesting. I'm going to start this project and look into explore the distributed web and documents, stuff like that. I just like coming across that stuff because it's like, really, really cool to like get away from the bloatware. And the cool thing about self-hosted is it allows you to be not only independent, it allows you to avoid censorship. Like, you don't have to worry about, as long as the project's obviously still being maintained, you don't have to worry about a lot of the censorship that can happen in an application, or do I am I gonna get kicked off? This is a protocol versus a platform, you know, perspective. There's all, like, there's a lot of tools also I download that require no internet access. And that is the empowerment. Self-hosting doesn't have to be on a server. And self-hosting doesn't have to be on someone else's computer to work. You can do all your contacts locally. You can put them all on a flash drive. And this is a pro tip. Put your contacts, your passport, your identification, and some other important information when you travel, put that on a flash drive that you don't care, like, hey, this is okay for people to know in case you get robbed or you go missing and they find this and they can access it and they can call, like, the five people that you put in there and a picture of your ID with your name. I mean, this is just something that I would, you know, consider. And not only that, it's also gives you a little bit of flexibility in the terms of online, offline, online, offline. I personally like as much offline as I can. I love the internet, but I also love stuff that works with no internet access needed. I'm in the process of right now building a cyber deck in case the internet goes out. I have some ideas in my head. I'll definitely notate how to do it, how I'm going to do it, and the, like, route I'm gonna go. And that's gonna be a work in progress. There we go. But that's the cool thing about being decentralized is look at the countries that somewhat censor, not only censor people, but censor their country during, I don't know, riot, protest. And yes, we understand that people are gonna, there's a difference between blocking misleading unknown, like blocking misleading propaganda that's bullshit, and blocking the people of saying what they think and what they can do. You know, that's a huge difference. And I think India not too long ago blocked their internet access, killed the internet for a lot of people because they were riding for, I'm not super based on the idea of why they were riding or they were protesting, but they were protesting and they pretty much shut down the internet. There's also Store J, compute anywhere, store everywhere, end-to-end encrypted backup solution, plug and play. Store J has an S3 compatibility, technical alliance with backup systems, data. You can even set up your own server and get your pricing back. So say you do, they got no ingress fees, pay as you go. Say you your storage amount is 100 terabytes. I'm not even close to that. But say it's $48, yeah, it's $4 a month. Say you have 1 terabyte and you download nothing. Like you just, say you have 10 terabytes. Say 5 terabytes. 5 terabytes is a lot of data for people. And you don't download any amount. It's 240, that's $24 a month. That gives you like an excellent backup solution. There's Backblaze if you want to use them. But StoreJ is decentralized. That is the purpose. That is the point of this topic. That's what SyncThing is great for. It's a continuous file sync program. It is completely decentralized. Simple XChat is decentralized. Terminal-based chat from mobile app coming soon. Obviously, that already happened. I remember when Simple Chat first came out. It was so bad. It was actually terrible. I tried getting someone that I was, like, talking with and like seeing, and I was like, hey, let's use this. And they were like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. Like, this is really bad. I can't get a hold of the, it was so bad. Now it's 100% better. Then there's Session. Session's technically decentralized. I mean, there's so many options out there to get away from centralized tech that there's, you just gotta find it and be like, you know what? What can I get away from? What do I need this for? Now it sucks. I was really, really in Gemini capsules. Gemini capsules were kind of like, it was kind of like the what the internet should have been, and it never happened. I was looking for documentation on how to do it and how to like get it working, and it wasn't like super easy. But I really liked it because it was super lightweight, it was super chill. I was just read shit. Noster is another protocol. It's notes and other stuff, I believe. Notes and other stuff transmitted by relays. That's the name. Yeah, not the smartest, but it does exist. It's a nice platform. I am on Noster. I'm on Mastodon. I'm on a few different platforms just to orbit and see people, you know. There's Open Bazaar. I use the Monero Bazaar where you can sell stuff. There's tons of really cool stuff. So this is my opinion. Go and find something that you kind of want to get away from and see if you can self-host it and how easy it is. Docker definitely makes it super, super easy to self-host. No effort, just much easier. And then Portainer. Portainer is amazing. I use Portainer. I know a lot of people use Portainer. I don't like touching the command line for everything all the time. This is where Portainer comes in. There's tons of tutorials out there. DB Tech, excellent. Geek to Geek, I don't know if that's the channel name anymore, but last time I checked, it's something else. Even just setting up a VPN to your house and access, that's how I access most of my services. I don't have to expose them. I don't need to. There's no purpose. It's kind of nice because then I have this entire kind of like this intranet, and because I have this little intranet, this internal network, I don't have to ever worry about being cut off unless my internet. You know what I mean? Unless my internet provider fucks me. But then, like, you know, I'm screwed anyways. That's why I kind of want to make an internet in a box kind of thing. Pirate box fucking end of life, and that was so depressing. And I definitely got really sad because it was such a good idea. And that's where the cyber deck came into my brain. I was like, this is amazing. We need stuff like this. But my suggestion is to start with something very simple. Start with a Minecraft server. Find out what your friends like to use and be like, can I host it? Now you assume the responsibility. Me, I'm paranoid and I do a lot of backups, like a ton. And I back up, snapshot, and I have the storage. Like, I have the I have everything I need in order to hit what I need to. I have everything I need in order to. If something bad happened, I can fix it. And then, just all you gotta do is go to Awesome Self-Hosted on GitHub. They have archiving data. And then just pick something random. Pick something like Internet of Things or Maps and GPS. They have a GPS, like self-hosted GPS. Note, do your notes. I had, for a long time, I used Joplin. I don't use it anymore. Not that I hate it. I love Joplin. I think it's great. I just don't need to run a server for my notes anymore because I got SyncThing. SyncThing does everything I need. You can self-host Bitwarden. It is not a security feature. They've come out and said this, and they're kind of right. It's not. It isn't. But self-host your password manager. They're even just doing KeePass, KeePass XD. That is self-hosting. You are taking that into your hands, and you are taking your freedom back in that sense. And it's, like I said, there's a ton of tutorials out there. There's so many, there's no point in having any more. Besides personality, I guess. You can do image. Image is great. I use image. Libre Photos. There's this week in past, Zen Photos, all these options, Necklace, Cloud Memories. Get away from worrying about Google and Google Drive and all these other, like, not even just proprietary software, but but literally you have to pay for it. You either pay with your money or you pay with your data. And it's fine to pay. I get it. But what's cooler is to pay one time or to pay and actually know that they're not selling your data in the back end. There's even a recipe management, bar assistant, KitchenAid. Think of all the money these fucking people would save. Not every project's perfect and some is probably like terrible and like, or it looks like it's fucking like 500 years old. And there's obviously, there is FreedomBox. FreedomBox is a community project to develop, by the way, just to let you know. FreedomBox has like a huge selective media solution. You get Cockpilot, Deludes, GitWeb, I2P, Jitsi. It's kind of like, you can buy one too. You can buy a FreedomBox. I don't know how expensive it is. Probably, I mean, it makes sense why it's called. It's literally a Raspberry Pi. It's $70. It's a Raspberry Pi. They put some stuff on it, I think. I think it's a Raspberry Pi. It looks like it. It's not. Something else. Man, it really looks like one. It's pretty much, they build it for you. Or you can put it on whatever you want. You know? They have a ton of okay. That's what I see. They put it on. They tell you what the hardware it fits on. Which is cool. And then there's a ton of apps you can download. There's Bepsy, File and Share, Snippet, VoIP Helper, BitTorrent Client, Git Hosting. I hosted my own Git server for a while, by the way. That was crazy. That was kind of my own Git, because I wanted to learn. Very heavy. I have my own wiki server that I self-host for Wikipedia. KiWiks. I self-host KiWiks. Kind of. Like, where I just want a local non-internet copy of the Wikipedia for good reason. I mean, yeah, I spend a lot of money on my storage in the beginning. And then I was like, oh, it paid for itself after literally a year, after I did like the math on what I was like not paying for in storage. I mean, like cloud storage or like insert app here. It's definitely a saver. There's, so right now I have paperless NG. That's awesome. It's my document manager. Portainer, KubeTorrent, Shori, which is my bookmark manager. I have Watchtower, paper, yeah. Pretty much just like all, like that's another couple things I run. Just because I want to be able to scan my stuff and just like kind of like have it in a digital format without having to rely on the cloud again. You can even self-host your own DocuSign, which is pretty based actually. So like it's a DocuSign, like there's awesome business, I think self-hosted business, and then there's awesome self sysadmin. They have awesome sysadmin where it's like a sysadmin. There's Pastebins. That's kind of cool. Like if you don't know what a Pastebin is, it's whatever, it doesn't matter. Polls and events, there's proxies, recipe managers, resource planning. You don't have to rely on all these. And some of these apps look beautiful, like so good. It's like someone did this for free. Let me go find out where what they're doing. Start OS, Start9, Sovereign Computing. Check them out if you want to get your own Bitcoin node. It exists. It's clean software, Bitcoin Card, Burn After Reading. They have CryptPad, GitT, Iris. There's also Umbrel as well. Packaging a service. They're pretty much, they're like, they got the meats, man. And there's a really good podcast episode out there with the guy that runs this. And this is what he does. And I think he does a good job. They're a sick company. It allows you to decentralize from the banking industry. Not that everybody needs to buy Bitcoin bandwagon. It's just if you want to separate yourself just a slight amount, it exists. There's, you know, I always say start at the edge. This is my theory with most things. Well, just not even most things, just in general. Start at the edge. Start with, all right, I'm gonna go out and get a cheap server. You can buy used ones, or you can get Nux, like those little powerful tiny next unit of computers, small computers. Just go buy one, put two containers on there, and start with Portainer, and then do your paperless NG, and then do short. There's templates. There's really application templates that are so good. I self-host my own finance manager that does all my financing. Like, there's no purpose for a lot of these companies to exist besides the fact that they're owning your data and they're owning you and they're keeping you locked in. The FCC just and you don't want to do it. It's fine. The FCC just passed, I think it's going to go in 6 months. It has to be, it's going into effect. It's going to force companies to do a one click cancel solution, which is a good thing. If I sign up in one click, I should be able to quit in one click. That simple. It's crazy that you have to jump hoops to unsubscribe from something. There's Autobro, there's Authentica, there's Authelia, there's Auto, you know, that was just a side rant. There's so many options for applications that you have literally endless apps that you can just set up. And that's what's awesome. You can get data management, like data management where you see like, oh, what is this? How long do I have to keep it, or etc. You know what I mean? Like, like what's like my network. You can do a network one, like where you see like the network, like your network, your like network like logs. If you can, if you don't have like a way to like log it, you have a way to do Kali Libre, where you can see like all your books. Got couch. I ran Couch Potato. I forgot about this one. It's like you can keep like Couch Potato is like a way to automate downloading stuff. You can do Curator. You can do your crypto, your portfolio for crypto. Darktable, Dashdot is a modern server dashboard running the latest techs. You have a Nut server, which it allows you to see like your UPS, like your uninterrupted power supply, the stats on it. You got Droppy. It's a self hosted file storage server. There's so many cool stuff. DocuWiki, it's a simple and simple to use, highly versatile open source wiki software that doesn't require a database. Yeah, that's awesome. Like, so much. You got folding at home. You want to fold? It's done. Project for simulating protein dynamic. Folding is kind of crazy. A Docker image for Flood with KubeTorrent Flood UI and the optional WireGuard VPN support. Flare Solver, Flame Dashboard, Flame, which is a self-hosted star page for your server. It designs inspired by Heavy by SUI, FireShare. There's just so many. You can do your own Firefox like Pocket Sync. Ferdium is a messaging browser that allows you to combine your favorite messages services into one application. It's endless. You don't really have you don't really have to fucking worry. And I think people don't realize there's a lot of people out there that are like, I don't wanna fucking pay for that. I just wanna you're putting in the work and you're making it where it's much easier. This is my opinion. Step one. You find a service that you need. Step two. You have a spare computer, a laptop. You can just do this on a fucking laptop. Step two, you go on the laptop, you install Docker, you install Portainer, you set it up, you make it reachable to your local area network. There's tons of guys. And you just get started. Even just doing your password manager locally with KeePass XC. And make sure you back up. Snapshots are in a backup. Uploading to the cloud isn't a guaranteed backup. Back everything up. And it's not a backup unless it's tested. Break it. Obviously, make sure you don't have important information there first. Break it and then redo it. Learn. It is such a rewarding experience. I'm glad I don't have to go out and hope that Google doesn't accidentally delete my shit. Or XYZ company loses funding and then they have to sell my data and the back end. It's inspiring to look over and see my servers that I went from. I started with one server and servers just a computer. I'm just using it because it's easier to use. I started with one NAS, one server, now I have one. At 8. I have a Raspberry Pi cluster that I use. I have my Synology NAS that I first got when I first got a NAS. It's definitely gonna eventually. I'm gonna kill it because it's really bad now. It's so slow. It was such a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. It was a learning experience. Definitely a learning experience. But I wouldn't. It's just logging in makes me want to kill myself. And then I got another NAS, and then I put TrueNAS on it. Well, TrueNAS Scale. And it all started with one laptop, and then one server, and then just the absolute hate of somebody owning my data besides me. Now, I understand that there are solutions. There are good arguments for another company. As a backup, for all my services that I do, all my servers, everything I self-host, I essentially... Ooh, sorry, I stepped away for a second. I had to think and eat my food. But back to the point. In perspective, I'm going to give a list of where to start. And I'm going to put it in the show notes. Add a sink for your contacts, for your calendar. And if you do want to pay somebody because you don't want to set it up, it does exist. Sync thing. Sync your files. Super fucking easy. Super easy to set up. Super easy to maintain. File synchronization. And not a backup. But it gets you started. And then always, I have a rule of four, rule of five. Three backups, two different, 3-2-1 is like three backups, three backups, two different formats, one different location. Mine's three backups, two different formats, three backups, one, what is it? Five backups. Three different formats. Two different locations. A cloud backup provider that I trust, but everything's encrypted. I encrypt everything before I put it up. And then I also have my file synchronization and my snapshots in case an oopsie happens. And I back up, but like they're part of my plan. I make sure I back up as much as possible so that I don't have to worry about ever losing data. And I routinely check on it. But start simple. After sync thing, you can do KeePass or Bitwarden if you want. Bitwarden's really safe. They're relatively good. And there's KeePass XD. Those are just like, just getting your passwords, like a password manager, your file synchronization, your contacts, your calendar. And you can run all that on Portainer. Portainer's a GUI front end. So easy now. And I know, understandably, what's easy to me is, could be, but it was way harder when I started. Like, miles harder. I had to touch the command line way more. Or host your own Umbral. Umbral's great. There's Umbral. And then there's Startnight Labs. You have different options. It's Umbral's like the easiest if you want to like out the gate. So very easy self-hosted solution. They have pretty much everything I talk. They have different solutions. They have Bitcoin Node. They have a Samurai Wallet. They have Lightning Node. They have LibreOffice. They have WooBot. They have Trillium. They have a Notes application. They have Firefox. I mean, they have tons of options. Tons of options. And on that note, I want to leave you with some thoughts. Think about where your data is. Do you trust where it is? Do you know that it's in good hands? And not only that, what if the internet is out and you didn't back up? How can you secure the future of your data and your most important thoughts, pictures, and memories? And what happens if somebody comes in and blocks you from doing this? This isn't something that's trivial or has not happened. You need to think about these things and take them into consideration when you have a plan that helps you maintain the ownership of your data. And that is pretty much all. I will see you guys in the next one.